So here we are with live with Linda, and it is May 17th. And Linda just landed in Frankfurt, and she asked me if I could jump in and take her place. She's hoping she can jump in and join us a little bit later. But in the meantime, I'm going to hang out with you guys for a bit. My granddaughter is here. Usually I'm not on the calls because I'm babysitting. My granddaughter is here, but she's just gone for a walk with grandpa. So you know, we'll see how it goes. I think it'll be fine. So welcome everyone. And let me just start by checking in. How are you all? Anything come up in the week that was particularly wonderful? Or any questions that you have about anything that is challenging? Anything at all? If something comes to your mind, you know you can just jump in at any point. And I was talking with Marnie a little bit yesterday, and she was telling me that Linda really enjoyed the idea of doing these little emoji, how are you feeling in the moment, or feedback about what's going on. And so I thought, well, we'll just carry that on. It's one of those things that I don't think about until somebody starts doing it. And I think it's pretty fun. So if you decide that you'd like to toss in a reaction once in a while, I think for me, what I like is that, you know, when we're on the screen together, it's kind of hard for us to see so much body language. And I think this is just a nice way to be saying, hey, that's a cool idea. Wow, I just like that. Or just give somebody some support, or maybe you're just sitting there feeling joyful. You know, you don't have to have a reason. So I could not find them last time. Katrina, can you find them now? Does everybody know where they are? So I don't know how it is with a tablet. With my computer, across the bottom, there's a little thing that says reactions. And if I click on that, then this is where I could raise my hand, or it has a choice of different kinds of things that I could click on. Is that the same for everybody else? Katrina, are you on a computer?
I have a laptop.
I have my laptop. So if you move your cursor, do you have a bunch of icons that come up across the bottom?
It says participants, chats, share, leave, stop video, and mute. That's it. Nothing else.
Katrina, have you updated Zoom lately?
Probably not, unless it did it on its own. Aha. Uh-huh.
That's when mine appeared.
Yes. Jewel, excellent suggestion, because Zoom evolves regularly. They update a lot. And so I'll bet you that if you update your version, then maybe it'll come up then. Yeah.
Okay.
I forget sometimes too, but it's, you know, I would say every couple of weeks or so, just check your version and just see if there's an update, because they've done an amazing job with how fast the world changed and how many more people were doing Zoom when this started out being a little company, kind of just going along and doing its thing. And now, like, everybody on the planet Zooming all the time. How they keep up is amazing. And I don't know if any of you have had the need to, you know, look at the tutorials or anything to learn how to do something. They're so helpful. It's pretty, pretty amazing. So my piece of gratitude in this moment is I'm grateful for the Zoom people because they do such a good job of making it possible for us to do this stuff.
Yeah. And Katrina, do you come into Zoom via the app or via the website?
I just clicked on the link in Kirsten's email.
Yeah, that's what I
did. It's my mail.
But I also get a a prompt then that says, do you want to come in through the app? And that's what I always do. Now, I have the app, and I'm on a laptop. But
I don't get that. Okay, I'll check it all out.
Options, too. But I have the app on my iPad. I'm all Apple, and that might have something to do with it, too.
That's true. Yeah, I'm an all Apple person as well.
I'm not. Well, I'm sending hugs anyway through the day.
Can you raise your hand? I think you can, right?
Yes, I can.
Well, usually that place may be also. How do you raise your hand?
Right where it says participants, invite, mute me, and lower hand. Let's go on with this. I don't want to take up this beautiful time because I'm not updated.
Well, I thought it was worthwhile time just in case anybody else was having any difficulty, but for sure. And it's a good reminder for everybody to update your system, you know, your version from time to time, because, you know, we get busy and we forget. So it's a good reminder.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, no problem. So, Jewel, you're unmuted. No, you muted. I'm going to say, is that because you had anything else to say? No, she muted really fast before I said that. So anybody does anybody have anything that they'd like to bring up today? A few more people arrived. Any questions? Sharing anything wonderful? Anything? As you know, please jump in anytime that you would like to. So Marnie and I were talking a little bit yesterday, and when she was talking with Linda, they were talking about World Labyrinth Day. So Marnie, do you want to tell us a little bit about World Labyrinth Day?
Yeah, well, we did talk about it when you were on last. And right. And Debbie shared later, by the way, that she uses labyrinths, those kind of labyrinths, not the T-Touch lab, obviously she uses that too, at her clinics in Asia all the time. And I was like, wow, because we used to try to have a labyrinth on the side at our clinics too, because sometimes it's a great place to go walk off some stress, or you and your dog can share some intimate time. But World Labyrinth Day, which we did talk about, was a rolling 1 o'clock all over the world in which people walked labyrinths or did finger labyrinths. And there was an amazing finger labyrinth presentation from Grace Cathedral with Lauren Artress. And it was kind of amazing, and people sent in pictures, and I just can't tell you where labyrinths are tucked away in the most gorgeous spots in the world. And people were doing them on the beach, and some of them were doing yoga and dancing, and there were some with kids playing. I don't know. It was pretty spectacular. And they had Grace Cathedral Live, which is kind of the ultimate place in the United States. But one of the things that I thought was kind of fun was that, or pretty interesting, Anna Patala, who you all know as a practitioner, is interested in labyrinths too. And she took some courses about how to make a labyrinth and that kind of thing. Anyway, and she made a labyrinth for an elementary school. She painted hoses, which had to be a lot of work. And she asked the neighborhood, you know, to donate their old hoses. Everybody had plenty. And she made this labyrinth at an elementary school. And you know, they'd never had such a thing. And kids are so intrigued by labyrinths. I just can't tell you how they love them. And they don't ask why or what. They just get in and start playing and dancing and whatever. Anyway, and then she got they had something on Labyrinth Day and whatever. And then I guess a couple of days later, she got an email from a teacher. I believe it was a teacher who said that there was a child, they were having some exams, and her child was pretty stressed out. And so they went out and walked the labyrinth together. Yeah, and it really, really helped the kid. I thought that was kind of a special way to special way to, that it works. And a lot of times you don't get the feedback from people. But anyway, I guarantee you, you need to walk a labyrinth for yourself. But I can't even tell you what it's like to walk with an animal. It's just extraordinary. Whether it's, cats walk them, but they walk them on their own. You know, so, you know, that's the way that goes. And putting a leash and a harness on to walk a cat in a labyrinth is not a plan. But horses and dogs will walk them happily with you. And a lot of them will walk on their own too. But there is something spectacular. I think it was Sage that an animal brings you into a parasympathetic mode immediately as you walk in. And then we talked about doing, there was a program with the HeartMath Institute with labyrinths about what was going on when people were walking a labyrinth, and they were teaching them to do, it isn't a heart hug, but they were teaching them to get into coherence by breathing into their heart.
Right.
Now, that was amazing. And then you walk the labyrinth. And we had talked earlier about walking the labyrinth by doing the heart hug before you went in. And then in the center, we stop and do tea touch on the animals. Or you meditate on your questions. You could ask questions. There's so many ways that labyrinths work for people. And or you meditate or whatever. But and then you do heart hugs in the center. It's pretty amazing. But it was so interesting to see the HeartMath Institute was doing some work with kind of pretty close to the heart hug going into using it with a labyrinth. And anyway, so it was quite a day, and it was kind of very, I don't what would you say, it felt good with everything that's going on in this world. It was walk as one at one for peace worldwide. Right. It was very special. This was a very special year.
That was and very cool. And what I like about it so much is that there are so many different ways you can walk a labyrinth, right? You don't have to make something big and elaborate. You know, the fact that you can walk with your finger on a piece of paper or walk it in your mind, you know, there are just so many things. Last time I was with you, I was trying to show you the labyrinth that I made in my yard, and I couldn't find the photo. Let's see if it works this time. Yeah. So I just took rope. These are for the horse people. A lot of these are my horse driving lines, and I've got my dog ropes for making rope harnesses, and you know, whatever all I could find that I could put together. And we walked it until it was time to mow the lawn again, and I picked it up. But I put it back together so I could recreate it again. So it's been so wet here in Oregon where I live. Haven't been able to do anything this year yet, but this was a lot of fun. And as Marty said, we could walk it on our own. We could walk it with our dog, you know, whatever we decided that we wanted to do. So it was kind of a fun project. Kirsten saying this Sunday is the next monthly Tea Touch for You session with Eleanor. Oh, these are announcements. Great. Sunday, May 22nd at 10 p.m. Pacific time. Linda's planning to be there on Sunday, but there's a slight chance that she's not able to. That's because we are all in the moment all the time, aren't we? Because it's really valuable because things change, and being able to adapt in the moment is a really, really important thing. Yeah, Jewel.
Just a quick thing about the labyrinth, and I have tried it, but I haven't done it. I have a friend who walks basically the infinity symbol.
Figure
eight. And it has a specific name. I can't remember what it is, but that's just so easy to do, and you can adapt it to whatever size space you have, inside, outside. Some of you may know the name, and it might occur to me before we finish, but
it sounds like a brain gym kind of thing. Do you know brain gym?
No.
Brain gym, tracing the figure eight with your eyes. gosh, it's been a long time since I've thought about Brain Gym. When my kids were little, I was doing a lot of those kinds of things, and I've kind of it just reminded me about it. So if any of you are curious about Brain Gym, there's a lot of different kinds of things that you can do that I can't remember all of them right now. But I think it's, you know, it's all about brain balancing stuff in a similar way that labyrinths are. It's so cool that we have so many things that have overlaps with them that that benefit us so much. The one that I built there is called, it's called a seven circuit labyrinth. It is so easy to draw or to lay out like that. You don't have to have super skills of geometry or anything like that to make it. And there are some good links to show you. The first one that I looked at, they were measuring out and doing a tremendous amount of math. And I thought, there's got to be an easier way. And it's pretty easy. I was trying to decide if there was a way for me to show you how to make it. Maybe after break, I'll find some paper and I can show you if you're interested. I was also, when I was here the last time, we were talking about all the, you know, the self-care concept kinds of things that we might do. And one of the things that I did some years ago was create something that I call my five questions. So for any of you that have worked with me with dogs, you know that I talk about the five questions. And I developed this because I really wanted to have kind of a process of how I work with animals. And I started to think about it with teaching people. And I realized that anytime I was working with an animal, I was following the concept of these five questions. And so I wrote them initially for dogs, and then I created a version for horses and for cats, and I have another version for humans. And this is all stuff that you know, but I thought that maybe it would be interesting to share this with you. One of the things that was motivation for me, we have so many T-touch techniques. We have so many different touches. We can use the body wraps. We can use all these different movement things. There are so many choices. And I think when people are starting out working with animals or with people, you can get a little bit overwhelmed because there are so many choices. You know, how do you even know where to start? And that's what led me to think about, well, how do I decide where to start? And that led me to these five questions. So I do have a mind map that is kind of a reminder. And so these are the different things that I think about. And the first one is about balance. And when I think about self-care, you can apply these to any time that you're working with an animal. But today I really want to talk about using these for yourself. And so the first one's about balance, because we all know that physical, mental, and emotional balance are all connected to each other, and they all influence each other. And I think we start when we're really, really young. You know, we get told, sit up straight, stand up, right? And as soon as you do that, as soon as somebody says, stand up, sit up straight, what do? You push your shoulders back, you hold your breath, you lift your chest, you lock your knees. And as soon as that happens, it creates tension and it puts us out of balance. And I think that if what people really mean is, don't slouch, right? And so I think the greater gift we could do for ourselves or for our children is to teach them how to just be upright in that relaxed erectness kind of thing that we look for, so that we can really support our young people to find that comfortable, more effective balance. And so what you could be doing is thinking, okay, if I want to be in the best balance I can be, what are all the things I know that might be able to help me be in better physical, mental, or emotional balance? And maybe it's walking something, doing something like walking a labyrinth. Maybe it's putting on a body wrap. Maybe it's doing touches on areas that you could bring more awareness to, having your building blocks one on top of the other so that you could be in better balance. And I want to say these aren't necessarily in any order. They all kind of happen at the same time, even though I'm going to talk about them in some order. The second one is about comfort. Are you as comfortable in your body as you can be? And I think it's super important to recognize that we all have limitations, right? We all have stiffnesses, or we all have pain, or we all have stuff that's going on in our lives. So it's not about the judgment of you have to be perfect, but it's just checking in, you know, is there anything that you could do to improve how you feel right now? Could you think about your breathing? Could you let tension go? Could you soften your eyes? There are so many things to consider. I even think, is your clothing comfortable? Some years ago, I decided that wearing comfortable clothing was going to be the highest priority when I thought about what I was going to wear. Because I think too often we wear something that maybe isn't that comfortable, but we think it's going to look nice or whatever it is. And you're always going to look better if you're comfortable, I think. And so once in a while I put something on, everybody's saying, oh, that looks so good. Oh my gosh, you have to get that. And I'm thinking, not comfortable, I'm not going to wear it. It has to feel good. So I think that checking in, because I think we have a tendency ourselves, and we talked about this the last time I was with you, we have a tendency to ignore ourselves and not just check in with, oh yeah, well, that bothers me, but oh yeah, it's okay, that's all right, it's not that big of a deal, oh, I'm too busy to change that. So I think it's really important to check in once in a while. If you were your friend, what would you suggest to help your friend be more comfortable? The self-control one, I think, is important because, and this is one that we talked about, I think, when I was with you last time as well, it's being able to think and respond with things that come up so that if something happens that triggers you in some way, could you exhale first? Could you take a moment to think about how to have a more mindful response? Can you find that space between just reacting and thinking? And so it's also about having that skill of active listening without jumping in with judgment. So really having that self-awareness so that before you go to some place that is way out of balance or uncomfortable, you have the possibility to say, wait a minute, that's not how I want to feel. What could I do instead that could keep me in my balanced place? Communication. We also talked about this one too. So it's about thinking about listening to ourselves, right? Listening to ourselves as well as listening to ourselves and letting go of the judgment and the labels toward ourselves so that we can really communicate from our heart and mind in balance and, you know, really create pictures of what we want instead of trying to avoid what we don't want. So we're having clear communication with ourselves. We're having clear communication with the universe about what we would like to create. We're really putting our attention with what we want instead of resisting what we don't want. And those lines of communication, I really think you have a choice. You can create by default, or you can create by having some clear image of what you want. And sometimes the universe has an interesting way of getting you what you want. However, it's an interesting path along the way, isn't it? And I think trust goes right along with communication, I think, so that you're really creating that trusting relationship with yourself and yourselves as well, so that you can treat yourself as kindly as you treat the animals in your life. And if you're saying unkind things to yourself and having a lot of judgment about things, you can really prevents you from learning, growing, and achieving your full potential. So, so acknowledge the part of you that wants to keep you safe and look for ways to support yourself in all loving kindness to move toward the things you want. And I think that that's a really important part to, if you feel like you're falling into self-judgment, you know, acknowledge that there's a part of yourself that's throwing up the alarms. You know, what's the valuable nugget in the middle of that? What's the message that if you take out all the crap around it, what's the message in the middle that there's something in there that feels like it wants to keep you safe or has some idea in there that's probably valuable, and it just gets wrapped up in all this yucky stuff that we really don't need. And so so coming back to that, I like the idea of thinking of yourself as your friend, so that you can be a supportive companion for yourself instead of feeling like the voice in your head is running the show. So if those five questions are interesting for you, if you're interested in this mind map, or I have a little text description of those things, Kirsten, do you want people to let you know if you'd like? I can send them to you. You could email them to people if anybody wants those.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Either put it in the chat or email me directly.
Right. So put your email. Do you want people to put their email in the chat or?
Yes, that would be great.
Yeah. So put your email in the chat or send Kirsten an email if you're interested. I'll send Kirsten both the mind map and the description that I have of those different things. And so if it's helpful for anybody, that would be great. And you can certainly imagine how you could adapt it for animals. If you're interested in the version that I have for animals, I'm sure happy to include that as well. If you'd like to do that, maybe I'll just send the different versions. And then if you get something you're not so interested in, you can pitch it. How would that be? Does that work, Kirsten? I can send the people one and the dog one.
Yes.
Couldn't we also put it on the Facebook page for this group?
If that's okay with people, we could sure do that.
Can't imagine why not.
I'm happy to do it. Let me just So we'll send the five questions. Oh, the five questions, the mind map, and then I can put it on the Facebook group too if you'd like. Yeah, I think it's just nice to have those sort of reminders. And so speaking of that, anybody have any questions or comments about anything about five questions? Anything? Yeah, Angela.
I think you've absolutely summed it up in that everything we're trying to do to get the most out of being the best we can be and helping our animals. But again, I am so much happier putting everything into other people and my animals and helping. And it is the way the body, everything you said is linked physically, emotionally, mentally. And I just have to it's just a really good reminder about how you can focus. You're taking that time to focus on you. And I found so Sage was telling us last week, we did a exercise thinking about our, you know, imagining our when we were really young, you know, sort of a happy memory when we were carefree. And something that has really come out for me this week is thinking back to the small happy child who just, you know, did things. And one of those moments that has really sort of come to light for me is that when I was riding a little pony when I was probably about 9 or 10 and coming into a tiny little jump bareback, no bridle, and having my arms just spread out, and it's capturing that moment of enjoyment So in the woods, not when everyone's around, but I'd be going up to little logs and things and just standing there and just being that child. And I think it's taking that moment to be in the present, and I need to do more of that. And that is just going to help me to help others more. So thank you.
Oh, I can't even tell you how much I love that. If I could put three hearts up here, I would do that so much, because how many of us maybe have those things pass in our mind, but we let them go by. And I think you're taking action and just go and do that. And I just think it's fantastic. And you know, if you don't start with the awareness that it's possible, then nothing ever comes of that, right? We just bury ourselves in responsibility. And I imagine that the benefit everyone in your world gets from those moments that you do those sorts of things is huge, because you bring that joyful energy to everything else you do. Very cool. It's very cool. Yeah. Marnie, please.
Well, this is not a good follow-up to what Angela said, because hers is so much fun, but I was just going to say, practically speaking, that reviewing your five questions before you start teaching and before clients and that kind of thing is a really, really good thing to kind of part of your prep. And no offense, but it's a good idea to kind of prep yourself before, we all sort of do, we do it. The animal leads what we do, but, it's always good. But I think that's a very useful thing for getting started when you're teaching, or if you're doing a demo or anything else as part of your preparation.
Yeah, and I think these are things that we know that, we kind of know, but I think putting it in a package kind of reminds us to kind of think, oh, right, I can do those things. I hope that's helpful. Sorry, Marnie, go ahead.
No, right on. Okay.
Anything else about these? So Marnie was also telling me that she has started putting together a list of the kinds of things that we might do to reduce stress. And Marnie, I know you called it the stress list. I was sort of thinking that maybe we would shift it to call the balance list, to different ways that we might be able to identify things that can help us to be in better balance. And I think this is such a good idea, because sometimes when something happens that throws you out of balance, physically, mentally, or emotionally out of balance, sometimes you can be so involved in what's going on that you kind of forget that you can get yourself back into that balance place. And this is the part of, this is a little bit like the self-control question in the five questions, so that you have the awareness to notice, whoa, wait a minute, that's putting me out of balance. What can I do to get myself back? So you could call them stress reducers. You could call them whatever feels right for you. Marnie, shall I just describe a little bit about what we were talking about yesterday, or do you want to describe your process?
Yeah, because you had some really good thoughts.
Well,
on it.
The thing that I was thinking is that, of course, we all know that there are things, that we can do to bring ourselves back in balance. Oh, balance enhancer. Oh, I like that. And the thing is that we all know that, right? But sometimes you're so into it that it's hard to find your way back to the balance place. And when Marnie and I were talking, I was thinking, this is the kind of thing where if you had your five things, or whatever it was that you knew that worked well for you, and you had that little list somewhere, whatever it is that however it is that you would have it as a reminder, so that when you just start to feel that you could use a little support, you can think and act and do one of those things to keep you from falling into the pit, as it were. And, you know, having these things handy, as Marnie and I were talking, I was saying, you know, you don't wait until the emergency before you start packing your go bag. You know, you have your emergency kit ready and you need it, boom, it's right there. And so so we were thinking, Marnie has a pretty cool list of different kinds of ideas of things. But we thought it might be really fun if any of you are interested in just tossing out there things that you might do. What kinds of things might you do that help you to come back into balance? Your balance enhancers, I like that. So anybody want to toss a couple thoughts out? Yeah, Leslie, please.
Yeah, so I wear a rose quartz crystal. I've got a particular necklace that I wear for when I work with horses in particular. So I always wear that before it's part of my uniform, I guess. Yeah, you know, I put my clothes on. I'm dissing the crystal, but it also helps me mentally prepare. The process of putting it on is part of that process. So, yeah.
Oh, and Marnie, I don't think we have stones or crystals on the list. So,
oh no, and that's a really big one.
This is so good. I've had periods in my life where, you know, things have been really challenging. And during those times, I always had a crystal or a stone in my pocket. So I could just put my hand in my pocket and I could just know it was there. Therese, I love this. That is so cool. And so I think having, you know, and the groundedness of the mineral family and all of that. Wow. Yep. For sure. For sure. Angela.
Is getting out in nature. And actually taking that time to sort of take some deep breaths and look around you, feel your feet on the ground, look up at the sky, the trees, and just take that moment away from all the stresses going on.
Yeah, I think that's so valuable. I think especially when we spend so much time on screens these days, you know, it encourages us to keep our eyes focused so much. And I feel fortunate that where I sit at my kitchen table and sit at the computer, I can raise my eyes and look out at the trees. And it's just really powerful just to do that. And so many different ways to spend time in nature, even if it's, you know, maybe you have a house plant. I think about people who live in the cities and don't have the benefit of going for a walk in the trees necessarily, but it can happen in a lot of different ways that can still be that nature connection. So that's really awesome. Anybody else?
Hi, Deborah. This is Sandra.
Yeah.
I have a crystal room. I actually have a room of my collection.
Oh, nice.
And I carry a bag full with me every day.
Nice.
I also have Tibetan singing bowls.
Wonderful.
I have one in my office that I take with me back and forth. And the sound and the vibration helps me a lot.
Yes, sounds and vibration. That's so true. See, Marnie, you're getting a lot of things to add to your list.
I am. This is why we wanted to do it. We knew you guys would have some great additions.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, you know, when you think about vibration, I think of, obviously there are, you know, so much evidence that vibration is amazing in so many different ways, but even like cats purring, the fact that what do you call it? The wavelength of cats purring is a healing vibration. And, you know, cats purr when they're giving birth because it aids the healing of the whole birth process. And I think that the, you know, the different ways that we can use vibration is pretty amazing for sure. And sounds for sure. Yeah, Katrina.
Well, I do several of the things that have already been mentioned. Breath, it depends where I'm at. My breath, and now I just automatically add a heart hug to that. Yes. And I'm sure that it's on everybody's list. Cats, when I'm home, and if my cats will come, they always ground me and settle me. And a big one for me, if I can, and it's about an hour away, I go in the ocean, I'm in it, and it just fixes almost, it fixes everything for me.
I have to say that I totally agree with you about the ocean. I used to live an hour and a half away from the ocean. And when we decided to leave the city and go live in the country, we moved halfway closer to the ocean. And so, I used to say to people, I'm going for my ocean fix today. I had time to drop my kids off at school, get to the beach, go for a walk on the beach with my dogs, have a little lunch and get back in time to pick them up from school. And it was ocean fix day. And I think then you get the sound of the ocean and, you know, all the wonderful saltwater benefits and all that kind of thing. I think for any of you that have that possibility, I just think it's for me, I used to go to the beach and stand there and do Tai Chi in the sand in front of the ocean. And it was just like, now I was ready to go back and face the world.
It makes a difference. The other thing that I do, and depends on the day, in the morning, I start off with listening to YouTube clips, and more times than not, it's Abraham Hicks, and I know that Linda talks about it, but just like this 10-minute hit, I feel like it's a multivitamin to get me in the right start for the morning.
And do you know that they have a daily quote? So I get the daily quote. So every morning, the daily quote is in my email inbox. And I take those that resonate with me and put them into a document so I can go back and look at them again. So for any of you that are interested in Abraham is a channeled teacher, what do you call it? Inspirational work kind of thing. I've been, oh my gosh, probably 30 years I've been reading Abraham stuff. It's pretty cool. You know, it's a lot of stuff we've talked about, right? You get more of what you pay attention to and in a lot of different ways. Yeah, that's very cool, Katrina. Excellent. You were talking about water, you know, Marnie and I were talking about water and I was saying, for me also hot water solves all ills, right? It might be a hot cup of tea. So hot tea, hot bath. There's something about hot water has a soothing effect on us in whatever way that it might. Even standing in the hot shower, I know that I talk about the zen of shower a little bit. Sometimes great ideas fall into my head when I'm standing there in the shower. When I had horses, there was also the zen of stall cleaning. I don't have horses now. So the zen of stall cleaning where great ideas would come into my head. And Angela says, yep. Now that I'm not cleaning stalls, it's the zen of shower. Sometimes I think, I don't know how to figure that out. Sometimes I'll just be so surprised. I come out of the shower and voila, there's an idea there somewhere. So cool to think about water. Other ideas? What do you all think? Yeah, Teresa, please. I'm sure you would have some.
Well, when you are talking about water and ocean and oil and sand, and I'm here, it's very far away. So I have to imagine, have a lot of imagination. But for water and shower, for me, is the morning shower body blessing.
Yeah.
And this is really, I make my shower and I go with the shower every circle and a quarter. And when I miss one, I say, okay, you get another one in your hand. And this is for me the moment of not using too much water, because we have to be careful, but it just goes for that, and it takes the whole body, the heart and the brain, and I am listening then to Emiliano Toso, who is a biologist. He's an Italian, and he makes music with 432 hertz. And he made also this music for Bruce Lipton's Cell, for the Cells. I can really recommend it's not a meditation music. It's really a sort of getting in contact with the cells.
Cool.
I already told about Emiliano Toso. I can put the name in it. It's really amazing.
What is that, Teresa?
This this biologist, Emiliano Toso. I'm gonna show you the website if I can get that in here. I will. It is. If you go that you will get it.
Okay.
Denise, she will know it very well. She is the musician specialist.
Cool. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
What other thoughts do you all have?
I was going to say that when you were talking about the sand and the ocean, I realized two things. You could, like the finger labyrinth, you can have a sand, it's a garden at the inside, or it could be outside, in which you make patterns, and that's extremely soothing. But one of the most amazing things, and it happened on Labyrinth Day, there are people did them at the beach, which is amazing because you're in the sand too. I hadn't thought about it. You're barefoot in the sand, and you're at the ocean. But also, there is something extraordinary about it. The sun's going down, watching the tide come in, slowly easing the labyrinth in back into the ocean. I don't know, the ocean is just extraordinary to watch the water not erase it. It's like it went off into the ocean. Anyway, it's very special and certainly soothing and meditational. I think that's a huge part of the sand ones, which is amazing to be on the ocean anyway. And the sand ones are very easy to make. But there's something about, there were some pictures of water coming in and slowly moving the sand back around back to nature.
I'm losing your voice a little bit.
Oh, it was a great reminder when Teresa, you were just talking about the sand and the ocean, and the it reminded me of those extremely special combinations.
But nice.
That cannot be in your go bag, though. Did you mention the go bag? That you would have a go bag for Debbie brought that.
Oh yeah, I did.
That you would have a list of few of these things that would work for you, because everybody's different, and that you'd have it in your go bag. Something like that is a little thing for your go bag and too much preparation, but there are smaller ways of doing some of these things. And some of it is, we were talking about, is if it's paddle boarding and you do live on the water, make sure your paddle board is not in the back of the garage. You know, have it where it's easily accessible, so that, you know, whatever. Don't make it so difficult. Your go bag should feel portable as enough that you quickly can get it if you find you need it. And I love this.
I knew that when we put this out for you guys, you have some great ideas and ideas that, you know, how did we forget? But I will confess that the first two lists did not even have meditation on it, and they were huge. And I'm like, oh my. So I knew we needed help here. And it is a long list. I don't know if anybody's interested, because I think the idea is to pick through and see ideas of your own and then add to it. And so we have sort of a, what would you call it, a put it, you know, and you're five or six or 10, you could make your own list, put it up on in front of you, you know, like a refrigerator, you know, kind of thing. Don't have it also tucked away in the interior of your computer, but you have it or on your phone, you know, whatever, what works for you. Sometimes it's good if it's out there visually in front of you. Sometimes you forget that you're going, oh yeah, maybe better grab one of those quick.
Well, I agree with you, Marnie, that, you know, it's fun to share these because we each have different ideas that we can contribute and to be sure that there are things that you could do in a moment's notice, right? Because that's, for me, that this is the value of that, that when you start to feel yourself fall into a state that's less desirable, you know that you have a choice. And I think that that's the important part, is knowing that you have a choice. And you know what? Sometimes I think it's important to maybe fall into the pit a little bit. Maybe it's worthwhile. And then you can ask yourself, okay, I'm choosing to feel poorly at this moment. And how long is it important for me to be here? So it stays mindful, right? So yeah, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna feel miserable for a little while, and then this is when I will know that it's time to change that. And oh, look, right here, I've got my little list of things, and I'm gonna go for a walk, or I'm going to listen to this music, or I'm gonna do these breathing exercises, or I'm gonna do my heart hug, or my body blessing, you know, whatever things that resonate for you, things that you could do without effort. And I think that was, you know, Marnie's point. I like that. If you're going to go paddle boarding, you don't want to have to dig through the garage to get your board, right? So it has to be stuff that you can do easily, that does not require effort. Because sometimes when you feel out of balance, the last thing you want to do is do something that feels like it takes some energy. So things that you could just think, oh, you know what? I could do that. Huh. Oh, I could do that. So I think it's just great to share these different ideas, because Marnie does have a pretty big list, and I've just added 1, 2, 3, 4 things just from what we've talked about.
Well, yeah, one of the easiest things is your dog is always ready and waiting. So working on your dog, or your cat, or your horse, or whatever, and if it's playing fetch in the backyard, your dog is pretty, is in your go bag if you would let them. So that's one way. You know, and of course the same if you have horses, right there, walk out and be with your horse.
Yeah, our animals are pretty amazing in that way, aren't they? Yeah, that's very, very, very cool. Any other suggestions to add to our list? Things that you think of to do when you want to be in balance? Yeah. Is that Joyce? Is that right?
Yes. Hi there. I recently had a terrible crisis, and I mean physical danger. Car caught fire.
Oh my God.
Was loaded to go to a horse show, had all the awards, all the ribbons, everything. There was an electrical fire. Smoke came in, pulled the car over to the perfect place because my angels and everybody was with me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
However, couldn't get the release to the hood. Some man going the opposite direction on the road saw me smoking, pulled around, helped me, got it open. The engine was perfect. The fire was electrical. And I started tearing everything out of my car, and this man did too. And we threw it close in the beginning, and the fire started dripping on the inside of the car, and I had a little bit of coffee, and I was so nervous I couldn't get the lid off, so I, you know, doused it, and I thought, oh good, maybe this will be all it is. No, it just got worse and worse.
Right.
And if I had not had deep breathing, and I mean into, out, four, to fire the vagus nerve,
yeah,
I would have been out of my mind. I just kept breathing, and then the fire was going more, and I kept running down to pull things farther away. He said, no, I said, I have to take a breath, go down, pull. And finally our little mascot horse was on fire because it wasn't far enough from the car. And I ran down to get it, patted it out, and turned around to go up the hill, and the first explosion happened.
Wow.
And then my breathing was very purposeful, and I didn't start my heart hugs right away. I just did one little hand. But I'm telling you, if I hadn't had the presence of mind and had all the wonderful, you guys were probably there with me, actually.
Yeah.
The car was burned to bare metal. It was total loss. However, this angel came to help me, and the insurance company kept putting me on hold, and all the wrong things happened, but all the right things ensued. And at the very end, I got weak-kneed, and I started this kind of go shocky, and I reached up and did my ears. That went away. Took some more breaths and stood and waited for my friend to come get me to go to the horse show. Anyway, the breath into the duplication of the inhalation on exhalation fires the vagus nerve, which kept me sane and kept me rational. So anyway, the breath is life, as you know.
Well,
but adding the exhalation that is twice as long really kept me present. So,
wow, Joyce, we're so happy that you're safe and that you had the angel person come to help you. I think we all need a heart hug right now. I feel like I do. just in support of you and all that you went through, and of course we're all there with you at times like that, and so thankful that you're safe and
you know, if I hadn't had these skills, I mean, I would have been a total basket. I was almost a total basket case, but not quite there. I was just thinking, just calm down, just don't. And actually, once I was picked up the whole way to my friend's house to get another car to take everything to the horse show, I did heart hugs and I was then fine. This is the first time I've had any tiny break about what happened. I just, you know, let it be released.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I'm so happy you had those resources. And it's just such a good example of why it's important to have those things right there, you know, and probably practice it often enough, whatever it is that you do, practice your list often enough so that it is sort of automatic. So you don't have to stop and think about it, what was my list? You know, have it be right there so that you can automatically kick that in. And I have to say, I was reading an article just a few weeks ago, and as more and more of us have cars that have batteries that are running on electricity, I hadn't thought about this, but putting water on an electrical fire will make it worse. And I hadn't thought about that. So and I have a hybrid car, so I felt like, oh my gosh, you know, we're all used to fire, water helps fires, but I think it's good information for us that as we have more and more battery cars to keep that in mind. And so happy that you had these resources, Joyce. This is so important.
Thank you so much. And one other thing for everyone. Once the crisis was averted and the cars towed off, the sweet little man that came to get it said, are you fully insured? I said, yes, sir. He said, just call me in a couple days. Tell him your car burnt to the ground. And the calm of people that were in my presence was incredible.
Yeah.
The firemen and the policemen, everybody was... And it was just incredible to know that something as simple as just working my mouth, which I did once things got better, I just did some circles, you know, again, to bring me back into that place of calm and quiet.
Yeah.
So I could function with who's got to go where and why, you know. So.
Well, I'm so
happy. All the Tillington touch was there.
Absolutely. I'm so happy you had not just the techniques, but the people around you that could support you at such a difficult time. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's really valuable. Cheryl, please.
Thank you for being here.
Hey, everybody. First, I want to say to Joyce, I'm so glad you're safe, and I'm sending you hugs from across the distance here, and I'm very grateful for that. But to share, for me, that connection to the earth is very, very important. And when I'm feeling that disconnection, barefoot is significant to me. And I know it's like a thing now, people call it barefooting, but it's always been, you know, the feel of the grass, the feel of the sand or the dirt or wherever I am, feeling that connection. Sometimes I'll actually go out and just lay, you know, like spread eagle in the grass under the stars and just let the earth support me and feel that the ground underneath me. And that is something that's significant. The other is water is important to me. I know some of you have talked about that. And I've been to the ocean and I like the ocean, but I grew up near Lake Michigan. And that's another big water, not as big as the ocean, but it's pretty big and it's very, very cold. And it's, I was just there actually last week. I went to visit my mom and we went over to South Haven and walked out on the pier and the waves were crashing up and getting me wet and stuff. And just the energy of that, it made me feel like a little kid. The energy of that water and the dancing is like, it's like she was dancing and celebrating that, you know. Anyway, it was interesting, but that kind of thing, the barefoot and the water and feeling that. And the other thing that I do is just sitting with my horse, sitting outside and observing her. Sometimes I'll sit in her field, and the things that I've noticed, like the way, you know, she's always been a little off with her right front. She's high low with her heels. She's got one heel bigger than the other, and she's always been like that. And because of that, the older she gets, she changes the way she holds herself and trying to reach the grass. And I noticed when she's walking or when she's in her little field that's got just a very slight slope to it, how she would step differently depending on what position she was on that slope. It was just because it was such an almost imperceptible slope, but it was very noticeable how she held herself differently, depending on how she was angled onto that very slight slope. And that kind of thing, just not only getting myself out of my head to observe something like that, kind of giving me a little look into her world also, and outside my own. And that kind of thing is very important to me and rejuvenating, and something that I need to remember that is important, you know, because sometimes I get stuck. You know, we all get stuck. We get stuck inside, we get stuck with our computers, we just get stuck. And so that's what I wanted to share. And
Cheryl, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is not related, but it keeps popping into my head, and so I feel like I need to share it because I think somebody might have an answer for me. And it's just I don't know if anybody, I'm sorry, I hate taking us off in this other direction, but anybody has experience with dreams and understanding dreams. But I had a dream last night that involved my horse, and she very gently in the dream double barrel kicked me in the thighs, and it didn't hurt. She just knocked me over, and I know it was a message, but I can't remember what prompted the kick. So if anybody has any hints on how I can get back to that beginning part to figure out why she would ever do that, because I know it was a message. It wasn't a real dream. It was her trying to tell me something. So anyway, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool, Cheryl. I am, if you don't mind, what I'd love to do is have a quick break, and in the zen of break, we'll contemplate your dream and come back and see if anybody has any thoughts about it. And your things that you shared about finding a balance were just fantastic as well. I really appreciate all of those, and how much when you let your the less desirable energy go to the earth transforms it and sends it back in something better. So it's a really nice way to just let the earth just take this, just take it away, and you don't need it anymore. And the earth can shift it for us. So very, very cool. All of those things. So let's just take, how about 9 minutes break? Does that work? Let's be back in 9 minutes.